This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, here we go. I was thinking this, Dibs.
Tell me, because I was thinking a lot of things, and I'm going to try to roll out my thoughts slowly but surely, because it is a four-hour show, and there's a lot to say about not only last night, but the Atlanta game, the future, the standings, where we are, where we're going. That last night was more than a gut punch. It was a little bit lower than the gut, quite frankly.
I just
kicking the groin.
It's the middle of the week. I love open-ended conversations. Go where you want to go. And we thought that we would welcome each and every one of you fine listeners, the 95.7 The Game, to almost play a Warriors version of what we do on the Friday crossover every week, which is called What's Bugging You? Okay? And just put out to you that question. What is bothering you about the Warriors right now? 888-957-9570. What is bothering you about the Warriors? And therefore, it's kind of like what you just said. This allows each and every one of you to go wherever the hell you want. Mm. I will say this. I'll say a few things. We all will. We've got 4 hours. But I will say this. Pound for pound, that was the most disappointing night of the year for the Golden State Warriors. I'm not going to say their worst game, their worst performance. They've had plenty of them. But for the entertainment dollar that we use, knowing that that was Jimmy Butler's return and everything that went into it, the time and space in the schedule as you get down to 10 games left, that was the most disappointing night on the entire Warrior schedule so far. For me, bar none. So coming off of that, we ask you, what is bothering you about the Golden State Warriors. And Dibs, here is my answer. They are getting very, very good at excuse making. Now, part of that is just the way that you handle public personas. It's how you handle microphones. You don't use brutal honesty in front of microphones. You don't come out after games and go, well, our very best player's not here, and we kind of suck offensively without him. So, shrug shoulders, oh well. You don't do that because it sells people down the river, even though I think that that is a huge part of what's going on. But what's really bothering me about this team is the constant flow of, we weren't ready to play, we're getting the other team's best shot, somebody on the other team always goes off, Quentin Grimes went off, Aaron Gordon went off, took an epic performance, and so, you know, what are you going to do? That happens sometimes in the pros. It's a steady flow of these things that are all built to mask the deficiencies that the Warriors clearly have, especially when their best player is not on the floor.
So what's bugging you is the excuses.
Yep.
It's just the constant, maybe not constant, but the stream of excuses. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because I can't help but think in my mind the juxtaposition of the Draymond Green sound when he was on TNT at the All-Star break, and he got, you know, he said it with his chest, he stood on it, he stood on business and said, we're going to win the championship. And at the same time, last night, his comment, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the soundboard in front of me, but it was basically, you know, everybody gets up for us. When we come to town, it's their championship game. So you can't, in my opinion, have it both ways. You can't be a championship team and also say, well, other teams get up for us because, you know, we're 10-time or 10-year dynasty, and so that makes it really hard for us. That, to me, was about as soft as it gets from Draymond Green.
Would you like to hear the comment you're referring to?
I would love to hear it,
yes. He wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it goes.
Let's go.
We got to make sure that we are approaching every game like we're playing against the best team in the NBA, because that's who teams turn into when they play us. You know, they play out of their minds. This team, 17 of 25 for three or something like that. It's crazy. 18 for 25. It's crazy. But in saying that, it's the NBA. Everybody got talent. So, you know, whether they're not, you know, they're not a team with a winning record or not, everybody's got talent and can beat you on any night. We got to make sure we figure these games out.
Well, I think I could say it a different way, is that if you don't guard people, they're going to hit shots. They're NBA players.
Exactly.
If you've ever watched an NBA player warm up, they hit most of their shots, because nobody's guarding them. You know what I mean? If you watch Steph Curry warm up, you're confused why he goes into the game and ever misses. He doesn't miss in warm-ups. Sometimes. It's pretty rare. He's way above 50% from three when he's warming up. But then there's defense on the floor, and that changes the entire structure of it. And obviously the amount of leg and effort and everything that you need in order to succeed when someone's trying to stop you is completely different. But the Warriors... And I want to say this now, very, very clearly, I want to say this. It's not that the Warriors won't guard you, it's that too often they can't. And that's what I don't hear, and again, I understand why, but I'm allowed to be bugged by it. I understand why the Warriors aren't just going to go to microphones and be like, well, we're deficient in a bunch of areas, especially when we're not whole. So I guess the larger point that I would make about whatever is about to happen with Warrior basketball, do not expect it to go anywhere unless everything is perfect. Everything is going to have to be perfect. Perfect health, perfect schedule, perfect opponent. Things are going to have to fall perfectly in place if the Warriors are going to make the playoffs and then maneuver in the playoffs. If by any stretch anybody thinks that a hangnail for one of their best players that knocks him out for two games, that's it. That's the end of that playoff series, in my opinion. They are going to need to be absolutely 100% perfectly healthy, in their flow, hot shooting from the right people, role players, all of that. When that happens, they're very good. But when any warts show up, this is just another team.
Well, you need Wardell to show up. Forget the warts.
Of course.
If you don't have Wardell, then you're not going to be anything close to 100% perfect.
I feel that way about Jimmy, too. Like, we've seen them with Steph and no Jimmy. Not good enough.
Right.
If Draymond's out, not good enough.
Well, and that's the thing is, right now you look at Last night's a good example. No Steph because he's still hurt. All right, Jimmy, revenge game. Jimmy, this would be the time that we would love it if you would shoot it 22 times and at least try to take over. And he was very docile. And Draymond Green, I said it before, later last week, earlier this week, he needs a night off. And, well, you know what? You had a couple of nights off in Miami, and yet you came out and he does not look like the DPOY to me. Offensively, he looks a little bit lethargic. And the rest of the guys, yeah, you need Quentin to be clicking. You need Buddy to knock down a few. You need Pods and GP2 and Kevon. You need your others to all step up and play their role. And last night was an example where nobody did. Like, Pods was pretty good. Kuminga off the bench, he was good. I wouldn't say he was great. Kuminga was... he was fine, to use your word.
Yeah,
but what bugged me the most about last night, and we're taking calls on what's bugging you, 888-957-9570, what's bugging me is the fact that you came out flat. You had a game on Saturday, and last night I got home and I watched it, and I rewatched what I missed on the drive home, and you didn't play with a lot of enthusiasm. You were a step slow.
Can I ask you something about that,
yes,
though? That's part of what I'm getting at. We came out flat. It is sort of suggesting, well, we're clearly better than the other team, but we came out flat, as opposed to, no, this is what you have right now. Like, do you want to know what would have changed that game last night? I think Moody had 3 wide open threes in the first 8 possessions. He missed them all.
Yeah.
If he hits 2 of them, we got a different basketball game. Completely different basketball game. And it's just hard for us to reason with because it's not like a big enough answer. But you'll see this in the NBA a lot. Role players play better at home. They just do. It's really where the home court advantage is baked. That's where it is. I know what Steph can do. He can put up 56 at Orlando and 50 at MSG, and he's one of the best players of all time. Jimmy will travel. Draymond usually travels. But does Moses Moody travel? Does Quentin Post travel? Does Brandon Pajemski travel? Are you hitting those shots on the road? That's why you can fall down by 22 in Brooklyn against a bunch of I don't know what's. But I'm not saying you're wrong, but when I hear that we came out flat, it sort of sounds like what I've always called a Serena Williams press conference, which is every match, and she's not wrong, she's the best ever, but every match is about her. It just, did I play well or did I not play well? And it's never about what the opponent might have on that given day. Like, they've been woefully outplayed all 8 quarters on this road trip so far.
Right.
Period.
And that, for me, is something that should travel. The ability to defend the 3, play with enthusiasm, play with hustle and heart. And you watch that game, you fell behind early because you weren't out there getting into people. And yeah, they hit some big shots, they hit some tough shots, but there was a whole lot of open threes and a lot of situations where guys either were confused on defense or overhelping or underguarding, whatever it was. Those are the things that, I'm sorry, those travel. If you're a good, hard-nosed player, it doesn't matter if you go 0-for-9. Like Moses Moody, tough night shooting the basketball. Yep. You can still go out there and contribute and play well and play hard, and I didn't see that from them last night.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. All right, here we go. We got BPA. We got Jonathan. You guys will lead us off. 888-957-9570. We are taking your phone calls right now and all afternoon. What is currently bothering you about this Golden State Warriors team? And it can be anywhere you would like to go. This is Willard and Dibs. For what we're about to sit down and watch, can you think of anything that was more disappointing than that?
Well, and this is going to really bug you,
okay,
because we got into it before and you're going to think I'm joking, but
what?
When they lost to Houston in the in-season tournament, which deprived them of a trip to Vegas, they lost to Houston by 1.
That was a frustrating game.
It was.
But it was a good game.
Great game. 91-90.
That was the one.
1993?
That was the one with the ref.
Randy, you're shaking your head. What are your recollections of that?
One of the most disgusting fourth quarters of basketball I've ever watched in my entire life.
And correct me if I'm wrong, though. The story after that was Steve was really mad because the ref called the foul off ball 80 feet from the hoop.
Yeah.
Remember? They were like diving on a loose ball, and they called a foul on the Warriors, and they were in the bonus, so that led to two free throws that Houston hit to win the game. He's like, you don't decide the game on the floor 80 feet from the hoop?
Yeah.
And then we came in here and talked about refs, and if memory serves, you took the ref side.
I think I did that time. Just that one time. And
just that one time.
Well, that time.
I do think that the Houston coach, it might have been Ime Udoka, who was on the court. He was like 9 feet out on the court, and it was like no problem because he wanted a timeout, and they didn't give him the timeout. So, yeah, it was a whole thing. But I do look at last night, and it's recency bias because it's last night. But, heck, it's game 72.
But
we're getting down to, and I hate this expression because nobody knows what it means, nut-crunching time or nut-cutting time. Whatever it is, we're not doing that. But these are big games down the stretch.
Yeah.
And you go to Miami, and that's what you come up with?
But that's what I'm getting at.
That's what you came out with?
What you're talking about is the most frustrating night of the year. I'm talking about the most disappointing night of the year.
Fair enough.
Like, that was a huge entertainment moment, supposedly, for the whole NBA world last night.
National TV.
And it was a dud.
Right.
That was a dud. A complete and total quacker.
Not if you're a Miami fan.
You sent that firework up into the sky on July 4th and it went.
Totally.
That was last night. And so that sucks. I'm like, I mean, I think, you know, we talked about it last night. What, they ended up a 4-point favorite or whatever. Like, I could wrap my head around a disappointing loss, but a dud? 86 points and no life at any point? Before, during, or after the game? Nothing?
Nothing.
Like, nothing. Nothing was offered to us at any point.
You cut it to 10, I think.
Eight.
Oh, we got to 8.
The Kuminga 3 made it 78-70.
So you're thinking, okay.
Yeah.
Forget that dreadful first quarter again, by the way.
Yeah.
And forget that Tyler Hero, great 3 to make it 17 at the half. All right, you made the push and you cut it to 8. Here we go. Let's get back. No, we're not going to get back into it. And then the fourth quarter just got completely away, and it turned into the Pat Spencer hour and Noxie. And it's like, I mean, what are we doing?
Well, Kuminga hit that 3, timeout on the floor, 78-70. And you're thinking, okay, maybe. And Miami responds with a 5-0 run in 30 seconds, and it's night. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-957-9570. We would love to hear from as many of you Warrior fans as possible today. What is bothering you most about this team right now? It's BPA, who we on this show have not heard from in a while.
Yeah.
BPA, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just listening to my favorite guy, Dibs.
Yeah, how you doing, babe? You owe me for 2 lost bets, by the way. Don't think I've forgotten. I'm like an elephant, just so you know.
Hey. You're looking good, man. Looking good.
Thanks,
nothing. I mean, it's a team that's real light in shooting. And when Steph's out, your next best shooters are probably Pods and Moody, who went 2-for-20 from 3 last night. And we talk about the defense. I mean, to me, the offense is the problem the last 2 nights. They're really almost unwatchable offensively. And you see them running split action, like, you know, I'm not a Kerr critic, but you probably not run the Steph offense when you have no shooting on the court. I don't know what you can run. That would be a limitation for me from a coaching acumen standpoint. But, they're just – when Steph's out, when Steph's there and you have Jimmy, you know, doing his second act thing, and Pods or Moody or one of these guys have a good night, that's probably good enough to win. When Steph's not there, those guys have to contribute, and they have to make shots, and that's usually not a good recipe with these guys. So I don't know. I don't have any other explanation. You know,
I like that breakdown though, because
thanks, BPA.
I mean, you're running the same offense without Steph that you run with Steph, but I don't know what else you can do because you have no real post up presence. And you don't have a lot of ability to run screen and roll. And what you saw from Miami last night is what teams are going to do when you don't have Steph, which is, all right, we're going to go ahead and when Jimmy drives, we're going to double him and we're going to help off of whoever we need to help off of, which is you know, Draymond Green. We're going to help off of GP2. We're going to help off of everyone who can't shoot a three, which is two or three guys on the court usually.
Can I throw some numbers?
Okay.
And numbers are numbers at you.
But these are your numbers.
Well, they are my numbers now because they got sent to me.
Numbers are numbers. And numbers are numbers.
And these are them. Although they started with Grandy. Grandy got these, but I did ask him to get him. So maybe they're our numbers,
Grandy? I don't claim ownership.
Okay, you know what? I'll take them. These are my numbers.
He retrieved them.
I wonder if this would surprise y'all. The Warriors attempt the third most three-pointers per game in the whole league.
Yep.
And they are 14th in the league in terms of percentage.
Yeah, I got them at 15th now, but that's fine.
Okay.
Either way.
Granny, that's a you and Dibs problem.
Your numbers, not mine.
Okay. No, but you
divorced yourself.
Yeah. Anyway, that's so the good. Only teams that shoot more three-pointers per game are the Boston Celtics and the Chicago Bulls. But then throw this in. Since the All-Star break, they've gone down from the third most attempts to the seventh. But their percentage has gone up, right? And that's the Jimmy Butler effect that so many of us have felt, which is that he's unlocked all these role players and Quentin Post has gotten in on the act. So since the All-Star break, they're no longer 14th best in three-point percentage. They're 7th. Do those numbers suggest to you that the Warriors are not a good shooting team? Because I hear people say that all the time.
No, but what I said to you before is that when they don't shoot it well, they lose. And I mentioned this before about Cleveland.
That's not all teams?
It's not Cleveland. Cleveland has had 9 games this year where they shoot less than 30%, and they're 5-4 in those games.
And,
so,
they're Cleveland. They're
right.
They're clearly better than
But they're number one
everybody.
In the league in three-point percentage. But on those nights where they don't shoot it well,
right.
And I put 30% as the marker because the Warriors are 4-10 in those games. Cleveland's 5-4. So the Warriors, when they don't shoot it at 30%, they basically lose. They've lost 4 out of 14, which is 28% of the time. So a good team, and yes, Cleveland is the gold standard along with OKC. A good team can survive it because they can do other things. The Warriors, to BPA's call and his point, they don't really have a lot of other options. Like Kuminga, when he's cooking, he can cook and he can get mid-range, he can get to the hoop and he can score. He can. I mean, I'm not saying he does all the time.
I didn't stop you.
You smirked and you were about to make a noise. When Jimmy Butler is on his game, and he wasn't last night, he gets to the foul line. Free points, found money, Easter eggs,
right.
Shout out Jesus. But when you don't have Jimmy aggressive and you don't have Kuminga cooking and you can't shoot the three, you lose.
I don't want to do Jonathan Kuminga today.
I don't either.
I don't.
And I thought that he was fine yesterday.
Yeah, he was fine. That's
if he was a C plus.
I want to explain my smirk. The Jonathan Kuminga can cook thing. Here's where the smirk comes from.
Yeah, I'm about to smirk back.
Well, it's not that Jonathan can't score. He obviously can put the biscuit in the basket. I totally get
that. Is that Kenny Mayne?
Yes, a little bit of a hockey term, but okay. Anyway, it works.
Yep.
He can do that, but I think where the whole Kuminga conversation gets sort of lost is that people talk about Jonathan Kuminga as if he's his own entity. So he can score or he's not allowed to play and score. And I'm always looking at it like, wait a minute, can we tuck this into Warrior basketball? Tuck it into Warrior basketball. So when has Jonathan Kuminga been that dude and 25 points a night for a team that wins basketball games and is relevant in the league? Because like that's one thing I never hear that get brought up. It's like, what if I told the biggest Kuminga fans out there, you're right. If he was given the opportunity, he can score 26 a night in this league. Just like LaMelo Ball or Trae Young or whatever. Like, insert whatever name you want in there who goes out and gets points, and effectively it doesn't achieve anything. That's where I think we sometimes get lost. And where the whole conversation, I think, gets lost. Because I'm a Warrior fan. I'm not a Kuminga guy and not a Kuminga guy.
I get
I'm
it.
A Warrior guy. And what I want to see this do is have everybody doing what they're supposed to do for the Warriors to win basketball games. If that's Jonathan with 25, great. If it's with 5, great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we don't need to go down that road. I just want to let you know where the smirk was coming from.
I get the smirk, okay. And I just looked it up, and they are 6-5 this year when he gets 20 points or more, which is to say they're slightly worse than the norm when he doesn't get 20 or more, and that includes games he didn't play, but when he gets 20 or more, they're 6-5, so it's not the elixir. I look at a night like last night where you can't shoot the 3, and BPA was slightly off. He said they were 2-for-20. They were 2-for-15, Pods and Moody combined. If you throw in Buddy, they were 4-for-20, Pods, Buddy, and Moody. So when you're not shooting the 3... what else can you do?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that's my point about Kuminga is, I'm not saying Kuminga could have gone for 34 and you would have won the game. You might have still lost that game because overall you were bad, but you don't right now as an offense have something else. If Jimmy Butler's not getting to the foul line and you're not making threes, what do you have? You don't have a good low post, get me a bucket guy. You don't have really somebody who can cook to the rim. Jonathan can. He doesn't do it that often, but when you're not hitting the 3, and that was my point, you really are kind of a live-by-the-3, die-by-the-3 team more than almost anybody else in the league.
888-957-9570. What is bothering you most right now about the Golden State Warriors? Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. Good afternoon, guys.
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to mention the first two. And it might be an addiction at this point because they can't seem to stop it. Number one, it's slow starts. Number two, it's mindless turnovers. They make Tim Roy go, oh my. You know, a lot of times, and it seemed to happen in succession. And then number three, this is kind of new, but it kind of, you know, I mean, it makes me grind my teeth a little bit, is when they're going against a big lineup like yesterday, you know, you got Bam and the other guys, the 7-footer. And they come out with a 4-guard lineup. What's up with that, guys?
Jonathan, thanks.
What would you rather have him do?
Yeah.
Play Quentin Post, who is a 7-1 player who plays like he's 6-5. You could play TJD. You could dust him off and play him. He's out of the rotation. You could play Kevon Looney, who he looks a little stiff. And I don't know if it's the...
I mean, that's where I'm at.
He looks a little long in the tooth. I love Kevon. We all love Kevon, but you watch him out there, and he looks like I look when I get out of bed first thing in the morning.
Listen, this is a real weak point for me. I am freely admitting that. There's a hole when it comes to this discussion. And that is, because I've heard a lot of people, they do it every time the Warriors lose. Every time the Warriors lose... we go, well, Steve Kerr's playing the wrong people. And it's such a catch-all because I can't sit here and be like, you're not allowed to criticize Steve Kerr. Of course you are. But I would fight back with whatever point you're making has zero evidence behind it. There's zero evidence that if we had tweaked the lineup to go in a different direction, that it would have worked. And I know you may say, well, you got to try something. Sure, I guess so. But I have no issue with the starting lineup. And the starting lineup went out there and got punched in the mouth immediately. And you're playing catch up. And without Steph Curry, that's not a good spot for the Warriors.
Right.
You're immediately down. You're immediately in trouble. You ended up in trouble the entire night. So we can do that. Steve, like to me, the Steve Kerr rotation issue has to come from someone came out in off the bench, looked amazing, and then Steve pulled him. Or looked amazing and Steve should have gone to him in the first place. But my response is, who the hell looks amazing? Nobody.
Yeah, like
there's nobody on the team that looks amazing right now.
Last night, if you gave out grades to individual players.
No A's.
I was just wondering if Pods would be the highest grade at a B or a B minus.
Grandy's grades?
Oh!
We may have to bring it back because I love the bit, but Grandy, and I think you were on post game last night.
I was.
Would you give anybody higher than Pods' grade, and what would you give Pods? Does Pods get a B? God.
I mean, Gui Santos was good.
Good point.
Gui Santos probably gets the best grade.
Good point.
But it was maybe an incomplete assignment because he didn't play a ton.
Fair.
But when he did play, he was pretty darn good.
But other than that, like, yeah, mostly...
Kuminga,
like,
was okay.
Yeah.
Pods was better in the second half, but pretty bad in the first half.
D's and F's.
Yeah.
Ahoy.
That's fair.
Warriors 18th in the association on the year in first quarter scoring differential. Last three games, they're a minus 6.7 per game. They're 29th. Mm. Only better than Toronto. So in the last three, they've gone down by an average of almost 7 points a game. And you mentioned it, without the chef, you're done.
Like, this is the
they're
one.
They're not built for this.
This is absolutely. And so
I can honestly say that.
Yeah. If thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Like, if you want something to calm you down today, for me, that's the one. That's the one.
The chef?
If you want to not be mad, and actually, maybe I'll make it two. There's two things, which is role players often do this on the road, which is miss all their shots. This is a thing in the NBA. Like, it really is. It's why you go to a playoff series and somebody in a dominant fashion wins game one and two. And then you go on the road and you stink and you get beat. And it's a 2-1 series. Happens a lot because the role players are so much more comfortable at home. So the fact that Moody and Pods and whoever seem to struggle as they've started this road trip, I don't think that's a crazy thing. I think that there's some normalcy behind that. And the other thing is, right, they're missing Steph Curry. And I'm not going to, like, I don't think that you should blow that off. Oh, no excuses. Nope, that works. That works for me. That's an excuse that I'm, like, completely willing to acknowledge. And I offer that to every team. I offer it to Memphis when they're without Jaren Jackson. I watched the spread double in Denver tonight because Giannis is out. It went up from 2-4 when Lillard was out. It went up from 4-8 when Giannis was out. Why? Because the good players are out. So you are immediately a way worse team. So Jokic is out. LeBron is out. Steph is out. Steph is out. They need Steph Curry to come back and play basketball for the remaining 10 games. Period. There's my solution.
Well, that's a fine solution.
That's it.
It's not only what he does individually for you, but it's also the gravity, which is one of the most overused phrases when talking about basketball. But it really does suit this team. And just looking at the numbers, Mark, the Warriors are number two in the league in percentage of shots that are threes. Nearly half of their shots are threes. Only Boston shoots more threes than twos. And when they have a bad three-point shooting night, they can still win because they have a couple guys who are really good at getting to the basket. The Warriors don't really have that. So when you shoot 47% of your shots from three and you don't have the best three-point shooter in history, well, now you need Quentin and Buddy and Moses.
That's right.
And GP2 from the corner and Pods. You need all of them to not be awful.
I love what you just said, because if you want to go back to the last game that they won without Steph Curry, it was when they beat Milwaukee last Tuesday night at home, and what is the common thread? I want you to listen to this now.
Okay.
They won that game by 11 points in their home building. Giannis played. Lillard played. They locked him up. Remember, Draymond's DPOY.
Locked him up.
Yep. You want to know why they won? It wasn't because Draymond was DPOY. They got 4 threes from post, 4 threes from Pods, 4 threes from Buddy Hield, and 2 threes from Gary Payton. 14 three-point makes from dudes who collectively are making $12 million a year.
Yeah.
Added up together are making about $12 million a year.
And if you look
That's it. That's it. And last night, I think they got like none.
Quentin had one.
Okay.
And
what Pods have?
Pods had two.
Okay. What'd Buddy have? Buddy had an okay night.
Buddy had two.
Okay.
So that's five.
And how about GP2?
GP2 had zero.
Okay.
Didn't even take one.
All right. So they had five. That's 15 points. Against Milwaukee, they had 14.
Right.
That's 42 points.
It's a 27-point difference.
That's a lot.
And that basically was the differential last night, where you made nine, they made 17. So they outscored you by 24 from three. And yeah, that's another thing we can get into, and what's bugging me is the notion of, yeah, they have the number one defensive rating since the All-Star break, and that was going into last night, and that may be true, but these last two games, there have been a lot of open threes against him.
No doubt.
And these guys are knocking him down. They're pros.
Mike in Fremont is next up. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Well, Dibs, you guys are awesome. First-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Hello, Mike.
It's funny you guys just... Yeah, so you guys just mentioned defense. For me, I struggle to understand why we're playing Miami and we feel like every player deserves a double team or deserves a shift, right? So you hear Fitz on the broadcast, oh, well, this team is a bad shooting team, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's because we give them wide open threes. They had 70% from three or whatever it was at one point. And I'm watching the game and I'm constantly watching on-ball defense help. And I don't understand why that is. Why do we constantly feel like we need to shift to help the on-ball defender and leave someone wide open, right? So when Jimmy comes, what changed? Well, we have the confidence to know that we can win every game. When we're constantly giving them wide open threes, wide open layups because someone is open by 10 feet every possession, it all starts there. Why do we feel we need to double team every single player on every single possession to give someone a wide open shot every time? I don't understand it.
Mike, thanks. I'll just say this. Like, it's hard to do that in a catch-all way because every game is different. Every basketball team has a game plan in certain games. They're going to pick certain players that they do not want to let beat them. So, yes, that often does look like you're just handing an open three to a player, but often that is the guy they want shooting the ball. I would just respond to you with this. What you described is exactly how people defend the Warriors. It's exactly what they do. Steph Curry has the ball, hell, run three people at him. If that's going to lead to a Brandon Podziemski or Draymond Green three, we'll take it. And guess what happens? When they go in, you lose.
Yes, and when you don't have
them. When they don't, you win.
Well, when Steph is not there and you have other guys shooting threes, if they don't make them, then you lose.
You lose.
Last night, they shot 68% from three. When you go 17 to 25 from three, you're probably going to win most nights.
Going to win that game. Yep. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. What is bugging you about the Warriors? 888-957-9570. We keep going with your phone calls. Sushi Steve, you'll lead us off here coming up next. Guess what? I think Bonte's going to hop on in the 4 o'clock hour.
I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. We'll check in with the TV face of the Warriors.
Yeah, but it's going to be Radio Bonte. He's going to bring it now.
I don't know what it's going to be.
Oh,
I'm not making a prediction on this.
I'm going to goad him. We're going to get him going.
All right, all right. But your call's next on Willard and Dibs.